The book of Ephesians, chapter 6, and verse 15. We're commanded, this is a command of God for every believer, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray tonight as we, this morning as we turn to thy word, Lord, bless us through thy word. How we thank thee for the word of the living God. And O Lord, we ask thee for the help of God to understand what it is to be shod well, to be able to go into battle with our feet, spiritual feet, protected. So Lord, be with us now, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Approximately 4 years after our Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, a Roman emperor ascended the throne by the name of Gaius Caesar Germanicus. You may find it difficult to find his name looking it up. You will find it, but actually he's known in history as Caligula. Caligula, a very famous Roman emperor. Caligula was not his real name, it was a nickname. He obtained that nickname as a young boy of 3 years old because he was taken by his father, who was a famous Roman general, with him on his military campaigns. And they had him dressed in a little Roman soldier's outfit with little Roman soldier's boots. And so the soldiers nicknamed him Little Boot, Little Boot. A caliga is the Latin name for a boot, so they had it the diminutive form, Little Boot. Caligula, Little Boot. And so we're thinking this morning about the Roman soldier's boot. Boots for the battle. Boots for the battle. Some commentators seem to give the impression it was just like a flip-flop type of thing they wore, or a sandal you would wear down at the seashore. No, it was more than that. Yes, it was a little bit like a saddle, but it actually went round the side of the ankle and so on. Boots for the battle. And as Paul would have seen the Roman guards, he's in prison, remember, guarded by some of Nero's personal soldiers, he would have noticed their footwear. And so he's saying, Christian, to battle through this life, you must have good boots on. You must be able to stand shod. Well, first of all, I want you to think of their necessity. Necessity. Paul is saying this is not optional. This is obligatory. This is necessity. A Roman soldier had to wear proper boots. I did tell you a few weeks ago, starting this series, just to remind you, when my second son, Ian, in the Territorial Army, he'd served 3 years full-time, was called up to go with the invasion force into Iraq. One of the first things he did was head for Belfast to the outdoor wear shop, and he bought himself, out of his own money, a pair of boots. Did the Army not provide them? Yes, but he knew they're not much good. And he made preparation, and he bought his own shoes and a few other pieces of equipment. And sadly, he was proved wise, because you may remember the scandals in Parliament, questions asked and newspaper headlines of how our soldier boys, the shoes were so inadequate that the soles began to come off in the hot desert in Iraq. It was a scandal that they weren't better prepared. Shoes are necessary in battle, and the Roman soldier's boot was of good quality for that time, very good quality. Now, it says in the verse that you're shod with the preparation. That's a word that means readiness. You have to be ready. Can you imagine the soldier sleeping, and all of a sudden the cry goes, the enemy's attacking. Now, where did I leave my boots? Where are they? Did you ever do that? Try to wonder where you left your shoes? Well, a Roman soldier couldn't do that. Whether he slept in them or not, I don't know. But he had to be prepared. He had to be ready to get his shoes on in a moment's notice if he hadn't been wearing them. You know, a fireman, we have a couple in the congregation, men who for some time served as in the fire service. I watched a little clip of a video of American firemen, and he got all his equipment on in 1 minute flat. The boots were sort of connected to the long, big trouser things they wear, and the braces coming over, and they timed him, and he went, and he kind of jumped into them, pulled them up, and got everything in a minute. The shoes, to get them on. And we need to have our shoes. We need to be prepared with these good quality shoes, because we need them. We have to be in a state of readiness. Now, what does it mean to be shod with them? What does it mean to wear these shoes? This is, of course, as an illustration. They're not literal boots or literal shoes. Well, it says, with the gospel of peace. To wear these shoes means you have an understanding of the gospel of peace. Now, thank God the gospel is simple. It's so simple that a little child can grasp the gospel and trust Christ as Savior and be gloriously saved. We believe a little child can be saved. The gospel is simple as to the way of salvation. Yet, it's profound. Oh, it's simple in the sense that we can explain to someone that you are a sinner, condemned under the wrath of God already. You're dead spiritually. You're condemned. But the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, left heaven and he came to earth and he lived that righteous life you couldn't live. And then he went to the cross, and being the Holy One, he died for sins. And he took the sinner's guilt. He took the sinner's hell. And if you will come and bow before him and trust him as your Savior and Lord, you can know that your sins have gone. You can have peace with God. The enmity can go. You can know that you're forgiven, redeemed, reconciled, and all that righteousness of Christ can be put to your account and you're accepted in him. You can explain the gospel. And a child, if they understand they're a sinner, can trust that. But yet the gospel is also profound. Just as you go down to the ocean and a little toddler can paddle at the edge in the little waves, and yet away out, the great whales can dive down and can't even plumb the depths of the ocean. It's so deep. It's so deep. Oh, the gospel, thank God it's simple. But the gospel is so profound, the wisdom of God, that no human being with all the study and intelligence that a person can have can never fully grasp the depths of God's so great and wonderful salvation. I believe that to wear the shoes, as it were, of the gospel of peace is to meditate and to know the gospel of peace, the gospel of Christ, to memorize it, to study it, to get into it. Memorize that verse I quoted, Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified, being declared righteous by faith, I have peace with God. He's not at war with me anymore. When Satan comes and tells me you're a sinner, oh look, you sinned, you did this. Satan, Christ died. He's my Savior. He's my peace. He made peace by the blood of his cross. He's brought me near to God. I'm saved. I'm saved. Did you notice when I read Ephesians 2:14? He is our peace. Christ is our peace. Reconciled to him. That's what it means to be shod with the gospel of peace. That you know the gospel. You're sure that you're trusting Christ. You have the assurance that you have peace with God. Now, the peace of God can vary. The peace of God is that sense of contentment and that sense of trust. We ought to have it all the times, but to be real, about it and honest, there are times we begin to doubt, there's times we begin to faint, there's times we get our eyes off the Lord. But listen, peace with God always remains the same. Do you know that? Are you sure this morning that you're shod with the gospel of peace? Because if you're not, you can't be a soldier. If you're not, you're still under the wrath of God. You need to be shod. Now, why is it a necessity? Why is it, Paul says, it's absolutely vital, Christian, that you be shod with the gospel of peace? Why is this so essential? Well, number one, for safety. For safety. You don't want to go into battle with no shoes. I know there's some people in the world, I lived among them for a while, who never wore shoes and their feet get like leather. But tell you, you wouldn't want to go into a battle, people from our background, with no shoes on. Now, you hardly want to go out over some stones with no shoes on. Oh, where will I get my shoes on? Where will I put the shoes on to go outside? You want to protect yourself. You want to protect yourself. You see, an advancing soldier needed sturdy shoes. Here's why. Paul says, so that you'll be able to stand against the wiles, the devices, the methods of the devil. Do you know what they used to do in those days in war? Enemies would lay just above the surface a little bit, sharp spikes, sharpened sticks, or even sometimes sharpened metal, knives, as it were, sticking up, that put a small layer of dirt or some grass over it. So as a soldier, if he had no good shoes on, as he's running forward, my foot, I can't walk. And the soldier's hobbling back. You ever had something stick in your foot? Have you ever stood on a nail? Tell you, it's agony. Remember I told you the first Lord's Day of the year, the motto text on Asher about having shoes of iron and brass. I still visualize my wife that day in the tribe when we lived in New Guinea, where a man, one of the great sago palm thorns, had gone through a man's foot and broken off. And their feet are a bit like a shoe, like leather, thick, because I never had shoes. And there's my wife with a razor blade cutting into his foot to try and get tweezers and all to get the thorn. Does not make you as painful even thinking about it? That's why I never go near her. She has a razor in her hand. And you have to get it out of the foot. The pain. That's just a thorn. Can you imagine a sharp knife going through your foot? And so the soldier had to wear the boots to protect him, because Roman boots, they tell us, were made of thick layers of the heaviest leather that they could get to protect them. Oh, Satan is laying cunning traps for the people of God. It's not an easy road we're traveling to glory. Many are the thorns on the way. And you know, we'll get hurt. We'll get hurt. There's temptation. There's trials. For safety, you need to be wearing the shoes of peace, the gospel shoes of peace. Not only for the safety, stability. Stability. You know, maybe you know about mountain climbers. You ever seen the type of shoes they wear? Have you ever seen, I'm not a golfer, but they tell me I've seen a few golf shoes. Don't they wear the shoes with the spikes? In case they just slip when they're putting the ball. You see somebody playing certain sports. Used to be the runners, used to have big spikes on, the steeplechasers. Spikes on the shoes to get a grip. And you can imagine the soldier, and he's gone out to battle, and it's a rainy day, and they're on a slippy ledge, and the ground is wet. May they need a boot that will grip the ground to be able to stand stable. You see, many times we're told in this passage to stand. In verse 11, that ye may be able to stand. See that? Stand. We're to stand.
And then in verse 13, we're to withstand in the evil day. Done all to stand. Verse 14, to stand. You'll only be able to stand if your shoes have a good grip. You ever had this misfortune to use the wrong pair of shoes and you've gone out on ice? And now you're slipping all over the place? But if you go out with the spikes, now you're safe. And you know those Roman shoes, you know what they tell us? That underneath the sole, there would be cleats, there would be like nails, there would be metal driven in. They were not flat, but they were like those spike shoes we talk about, so that the Roman soldier could get a grip. So that if he's fighting and the enemy's coming to try and push him over, the shield's there, the sole, and they're trying to push him off his ground, they can't. Because with his boots, he's dug in strong. And Satan will do everything to get you away from your spiritual feet on the gospel of peace. He'll try to shake your trust in Christ. He'll try to shake your assurance in the work that Christ did on Calvary. He'll try and shake your dependence. He'll say, oh, did you believe aright? Did you do this? Did you do that? Do you think Christ's death really saves? And he'll try and fill you with doubt. He'll try to push you over. He'll try to remove you from the truth of the faith. We're to contend earnestly for the faith. He'll try to move you. But we're not to budge. And the only way that you can stand is through that, having those shoes. Remember I mentioned, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God? You know, the very next verse tells you in Romans 15 and 2, this grace wherein we stand. I looked that up and I liked how one commentator put it, with sure footing. My, when you get a hold of the gospel of peace, that we're saved by his grace, wherein ye stand. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul talked about the gospel. I delivered to you that Christ died for our sins, was buried, rose again. And the latter part of the chapter, he says, wherein ye stand. Are you standing in the gospel? Do you have stability? Do the devil's false teaching move you? See, a lot of Christians, if they don't have the shoes of the gospel of peace, the next fad that comes along, the next new false teaching, they get shaken. They get shaken from their confidence in Christ. The necessity of these boots for safety. You go out this week, you need to be wearing the gospel boots, or else you're in danger. For safety, for stability, to be able to stand strong this week for the gospel and against every attack upon the gospel. See, this is a stand not against us individually. He's writing to a church. And what he's saying to the whole church is, look, Satan will come with his false teachers and seek to attack the gospel. You stand against it. Well, you need these gospel shoes. But then there's something else you need them for. Mobility. Mobility. Yes, you can have strong shoes, heavy shoes, but they can be very difficult to walk in or to run in. The shoes that the Roman soldier wore, they were not only very strong, not only had those hobnails, if you like, at the bottom that gripped the ground, they were actually fairly light. And they were not just an open sandal. But what they tell us is the leather came round the side, around the ankle. Around the ankle. Have you ever seen, maybe you buy these, you know, of all types. When I was young, you just got what you called, maybe you don't even know this word, a gutty. Remember a gutty? You told when you went to school, oh, for PE, you have to have a gutty. If you know, young people, if you want to know what a gutty is, you ask some of the afterwards. There were no different types. I remember a man, John Henning, I think he came from the top of the Shankill. He must have up that area somewhere. He used to run from here to Londonderry Saturdays and the way down. He represented
the British Common and the Britain and the Commonwealth Games in the 50s, 40s and 50s. That's all he ever had in the races. And you look at them today with all their fancy boots and their fancy footwear and so on. But have you ever seen the shoes they sell in shops? Oh, that's for basketball players. And you know, their basketball player's shoes, it comes up around the ankle. That's exactly the way the Roman boot went. Why? So those basketball players will not go over on their ankle when they're running and quickly moving. The Roman soldier's boot protected the ankle. You see, Julius Caesar, it said, one of the greatest Roman generals that actually came to, of course, England, you know, years ago and conquered England. The reason that he won so many battles, historians say, is he equipped his army with great footwear that enabled them to rush into battle. And sometimes the enemy thought, oh, well, we can wait, they're away over such and such a place. But Julius Caesar had trained his men to move quickly. And they would rush into battle. I took time to work it out a couple of days ago. Looked at different sites and so on to get the right way of it. Do you know, if a Roman soldier lived in Rome and he got the news you're going to be stationed in Israel, do you know how far he had to walk? And I wrote it down, wrote all the details. Approximately 2,500 miles. That's a nice wee afternoon walk. It would take him at least 130 days marching at approximately just under 20 miles a day. Now, I want you here tonight, but if you want to go for a 20-mile walk this afternoon, you're welcome. Just don't call my number, all right? I'm not available. But I want to warn you, if you are thinking of taking a little 20-mile walk this afternoon, make sure you're wearing good shoes. Make sure you're wearing good shoes. The Roman soldier had good shoes that enabled him to rush into battle. Now, what's this mean? I thought about that. What enabled David Livingstone to walk those hundreds and hundreds of miles through darkest Africa, much of it unknown by Europeans? What enabled him to walk and to bring the gospel to Africa? Because he was shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And around this world, as we sit here, there are men and women who are walking, we could say, because they're shod with the gospel of peace, into dark places, into battle against Satan and all his hosts. Why? To rescue souls out of Satan's grasp. Because one of the great responsibilities of a soldier was to rescue those who are kidnapped, to rescue the captives. And that's our duty as Christians. We're not just to protect ourselves, to have safety, to have stability. Yes, that's important. But we're to have mobility to attack Satan and to rescue souls out of danger. Now, Paul was writing to Christians. They had been held by Satan. Remember, walked according to the prince of this hour. But they had been delivered. Why? How? Well, it's very simple. Because somebody wearing the shoes of the gospel of peace came and preached the gospel to them. And they were delivered. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 17. It tells you that. We're thinking of mobility. And look what it says. And this is talking about the Savior. That he is our peace. That's verse 14. Christ is our peace, verse 17. And came and preached peace to you, which were afar off. Christ came and preached peace to you. Yes, Christ came. That's why they were saved. Because Christ came to Ephesus and preached peace to them.
Maybe you're sitting there thinking, I know I mentioned this some months ago, but maybe there's somebody here thinking, well, hold on a minute. Are you saying that Christ went to Ephesus? I've read in my Bible of him walking the roads of Israel. I never read of him going to Ephesus. Well, turn back to book of Isaiah 52. Turn back to Isaiah 52. All right? Isaiah 52, verse 7. Isaiah 52, verse 7. And if you find it, I'll just read it to you. Isaiah 52, verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him. Him, underline the him. That bringeth good tidings. That's the gospel that publisheth peace. See that? Bringeth good tidings of good that publisheth salvation. Him, who's that? That's Christ. That's the mighty warrior. That's the great soldier. For if you read on a few verses, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. You see him there with the blood of battle upon him in Isaiah 53, but you see him conquering, for he rises again from the dead. It's speaking of Christ. And so when you think of Ephesians 2, it's beginning to get a bit clearer. This is Christ coming and preaching. Turn to Romans 10. Romans 10. This will make it clear. Romans 10. Great chapter. Great chapter of the gospel. My verse 13 of Romans 10. How many have been converted through this verse? Romans 10, 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not a wonderful verse. Wonderful verse. I remember the night sitting down as a boy and the late William Mullen opening his Bible and pointing me to that verse, which I already had memorized, been brought up in a Christian home. Ron, for whosoever, and that means you, Ron, if you call upon the Lord right now, he'll save you. Do you believe it? Many of you had that experience, I'm sure. But in Romans 10, Paul goes on to say, but how can people believe if they've never heard of him in verse 14? How can they believe? Now look at verse 15. How shall they preach except they be sent as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. There's peace again. But it's not them now. Paul is quoting Isaiah 52 and 7. But he changes it. Of course, he's writing under inspiration. And he doesn't say him, Christ. He says them, Christ's servants. So, when we think of Ephesians 2, what are we saying? How were these believers rescued out of the clutches of the archenemy Satan? Because Christ came and preached to them. Not in his literal body. Christ is in glory. But Christ came through the mouth, through the words of his soldiers. And Christ came, and in your experience, Newton Ards, Belfast, wherever, Christ came. Yes, he did. Or you wouldn't be saved if Christ didn't come. You cannot be saved except by Christ. And you cannot be saved unless Christ opens your understanding. But how did Christ come to you? Not literally, bodily, but he came to you through the words of his servants. And a wonderful privilege to be a soldier of Christ. You see, you don't go into the battle alone. You don't go to fight Satan in your own strength. Christ, when you go out to witness for the Lord, when you go out to take part, let's say, children's meeting, Sunday school, whatever way, give out a tract, witness for Christ, Christ speaks through you, and he preaches peace, because the gospel is the gospel of peace. Oh, we need these shoes for mobility. We need to be rushing to get the gospel to men and women. Just one more verse. I think we have time. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Either turn to it, I'll read it to you. We're thinking here, it's the preparation The preparation, being shod with the preparation, be ready. Be ready to preach. Be ready to bring this gospel of peace. And I just want to point out something about how we fight. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready. There's the preparation. Always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Do you know how the Christian soldier fights? Do you know how you go to fight against Satan to rescue men and women and young people from the clutches of Satan? Do you know how you fight? Do you know what your weapon is? Listen. Gentleness. Gentleness. That's how you battle. With the weapon of a gentle attitude. That's what meekness means. We rescue souls from Satan's grasp. We rush and we tell them the gospel with gentleness. And what Peter means is, you're somewhere and people are mocking you for being a Christian. They're persecuting you for being a Christian. That's the background. They're physically harming you for being a Christian. How do you fight against them? Be gentle to them. Be gentle. There was a famous Keswick preacher called Stuart Holden. He was well known for preaching at the Keswick Convention for many years. And he tells in one of his books how, when he was a soldier in Egypt, he met a sergeant from one of the Highland regiments and found out this sergeant was a bright Christian. And so he asked him, "How were you saved?" The sergeant said, "Well, I had no time for the gospel. But there was a private was transferred to my squad, and he had become a Christian while serving in Malta, and I give him a terrible time. Oh, I mocked him and ridiculed him. And one night I come in and my boots were covered in mud and they were wet. And there was that private kneeling at his bed praying. So I got one boot off and I threw it and it hit him in the head. And I laughed. And then I took the other boot off and I threw it and I hit him in the head with that boot. And I laughed. And he just went on praying. And in the morning when I woke up, there by my bedside were my boots clean and polished, spick and span. And that broke me. That broke me down. I couldn't mock him anymore. That's what it means to battle with gentleness. That's what it means. You know, the psalmist said, "Lord, thy gentleness hath made me great." To be shod with the gospel of peace means that gentleness. Oh, I think of one of the great soldiers of the cross as John Livingstone, Covenanter times in Scotland. He was used mightily at age 27 at the Kirk of Shotts revival, when it says that people said they knew of no other sermon in history from the days of the apostles that was ever used to lead so many to Christ. When he came to die, this is what he said. His friends gathered round. "Are you confident in death?" He said, "Oh, yes. I've taken all my good works and all my bad works, and I've cast them all before the Lord, and I fled to Christ, and trusting in him, I have sweet peace." The only way that you can face the great enemy death is if you're shod with the gospel of peace. Then you can go through the valley of the shadow of death with safety, with stability, and thank God with mobility. You'll move through it. May God help us to be shod with the gospel of peace.